And we are rolling. Hi, this is Mark Goldberg with the UN Affairs blog, UN Dispatch. Speaking, I'm very pleased to be speaking today with Ambassador Thomas Pickering. Hello, Ambassador.
Hello, Mark.
So, Mr. Ambassador, you've been on the show a few times before. Thanks again for coming back. We have a limited amount of time, but I want to quickly plug your bio. You're a former ambassador to the United Nations, to Russia, to Israel, to India, and a former Undersecretary of State for Political Affairs. In other words, you are an experienced foreign policy hand. In our very brief amount of time today, I wanted to get into sort of an issue that's sort of percolating under the surface here in Washington, which is an issue of what I think Secretary of Defense Gates calls the whole of government approach to foreign policy and to national security. And what that means in practice is empowering civilian agencies, namely the State Department, to take on more of a role in sort of setting the foreign policy agenda. And sort of I will leave it to you to sort of take that sort of prompt with you where you like.
Let me take it from there, Mark. I think your introduction is perfect. What has been happening over the years is that the State Department has been continuously cut in its budget, so its ability to staff and provide for the people to carry out the programs that are incumbent on it to follow through on have been limited, and that keeps declining, unfortunately. About a year and a half ago, Secretary Gates began to talk about that. Secretary Rice did. The American Academy of Diplomacy, where I'm chairman of the board, and the Henry L. Stimson Center together put a study in place which drew on the resources of the Academy, all the senior expertise, including a number of people who are military experts as well. And the Stimson Center brought together a number of very senior budget experts, former OMB and former State Department and AID officials. And the simple task was to put together a report that would tell the Congress and the public what it would require over the next 5 years to staff the State Department adequately, and in a couple of other areas, including public diplomacy, what would be required to improve their programs to the point where we thought the State Department could begin to perform. What we came up with in large terms was that by 2014, in 5 years, the State Department ought to have another 4,735 people, that they should be spending then at an additional rate of $3.286 billion, about $2 billion for the personnel and another $1.2 billion for additional programs in public diplomacy, about 100% increase in foreign exchanges, 44 new cultural centers around the world. This particular increase was divided across three or four major parameters. About 1,000 new people would be required in the area of core diplomacy, that they needed to establish 1,000 positions for people in training and for people in transit and for other emergencies in the personnel system. The State Department never has had adequate number of slots in order to train its people, so it's always had to draw people out of frontline positions to do that. Another 400 or so people in public diplomacy, another 500 people probably areas such as stabilization and reconstruction, plus a reserve force of 4,000 people to be established in stabilization and reconstruction, not included in the amount that I gave you, and probably another 2,000 people in AID, which had diminished. And so if you wanted to look at it historically, AID had 3,500, almost 4,000 people administering $6 billion worth of assistance. Now it's got less than 2,000 administering $8 billion worth of assistance. And in a number of areas, only 80 educational officers worldwide, only 5 engineers dealing with major road construction and similar projects around the world. So AID had suffered a great deal. In effect, this is a program on a path to be able to do and carry out its present responsibilities. One final point. Over the years, about $780 million worth of military assistance had migrated completely to the Defense Department and its programs. The tradition is, of course, that the State Department and the Secretary decide the amount of military assistance and to what countries, certainly in close cooperation with the Secretary of Defense.
You've laid out all these proposals, and presumably it's going to cost a lot of money. I mean, where do you expect the money to come from? Obviously, we just passed a huge, stimulus bill. There doesn't seem like there's a surplus of funding to be taken around. Do you expect the Department of Defense budget to decrease commensurate to an increase in the State Department budget?
Are we recording now?
I'm recording on my end.
All right. Okay. So I'll just pick up on that question.
Okay.
Okay. Let me finish where I was, then I'll pick up on the
question.
Great.
Please do. Thank
okay.
you.
Yeah. Over the years, a lot of military assistance has migrated directly to the Defense Department, and we have proposed that come back to the State Department. The Defense Department would carry out those programs, but the Secretary of State would set the level in the countries that would be included in these security assistance programs. Now, you asked about where this money will come from. We believe, in effect, that this needs to be an increase in the State Department budget. It is possible, since this is a relatively small amount of money, $3.286 billion in 2014 to support the program, that it might well be included in a general increase in the budget. It represents less than 10% of the current funding of the combined aid and State Department programs. If not, it might well come from defense, although, as you know, within the Congress, they have to make that decision. The first decision is to be made by the president. Happily, the president, President Bush, sent a budget for the State Department in 2009, which included 1,000 new positions, and so it's the first fifth, if you like, of this program. And that has been, we understand, pretty much incorporated in the omnibus bill, which is now pending for the rest of the government. So it will be up to the Clinton administration, up to the Obama administration and Secretary Clinton to find the next slice of this in the 2010 budget. We understand that she's considering this report very seriously, and we're very hopeful that the second slice will also be included for 2010.
I guess, this almost seems like a no-brainer, and I'm wondering why hasn't this an increase like this in the State Department budget happened yet?
I think a couple of things, Mark. One is that it only was over the last year and a half, with the acute problems in Iraq and Afghanistan, that people had come to understand that the military was not the solution to all these problems, that you required a very serious contribution from the civilian side, and particularly from the State Department. It was, of course, Secretary Gates that gave a lot of prominence to this issue. Secondly, it was only last year that President Bush made the State Department budget part of the national security budget, so that's increased. And finally, over the years, the State Department budget has been lumped with the Department of Justice and the Department of Commerce, all of whom have very strong local constituencies. And State Department, because it works overseas, almost by definition doesn't have a local constituency. So the committees dividing up the money between State and Justice and Commerce often tended to feed the Justice Department and the Commerce Department, particularly if they took care of problems in their constituencies. And so it is a traditional problem. And those are some of the reasons why it hasn't moved. But we're very hopeful, in fact, that the new administration, the new impact, and the outreach that has been performed by Secretary Gates, and indeed by our report. Our report has already been briefed over 25 times in many cities around the United States, as well as in the Congress, including to the chairman of the Appropriations Committee in both the House and the Senate.
Can I squeeze in one final question?
Of course you can, sure.
Okay. You talked earlier, or you just mentioned this idea of there being no sort of real constituency for the State Department. I'm wondering if that has changed at all now that you have a politically very popular Secretary of State. Hillary Clinton has a huge constituency here in the United States, and I'm wondering if that constituency can be mobilized in support of some of these goals that you mentioned.
Well, I think it's a wonderful idea, and I think that it obviously goes with the job that Secretary Clinton will bring along with her own personal popularity, the tremendous constituents she built up when she was running for president among the Democratic Party, certainly, and her popularity nationally. So all of that, I think, is good news, and obviously, if the Secretary puts this in her budget, then we know she will fight for it. She happens, of course, to know the Congress very well, having come from there. So these are all very much, I think, added benefits in this administration for moving in this direction and achieving adequate funding for the State Department.
we'll have to leave it there. I appreciate you squeezing this in, and we'll post links to your report up on this page.
Oh, it's terrific, and thank you very much, Mark, and look forward to doing some more with you.
All right, thank you.